Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Doug Llewellyn.
Thank you so much. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Close Up Talk Radio. This is going to be a fascinating interview, especially if you're a business owner or a leader and you would like to do something to help improve your bottom line or optimize your operations. In other words, make things better and work more smoothly. We're going to be talking to a consultant today who specializes in helping leaders like you generate increased earnings by identifying the key cost drivers in your operation and the bottlenecks, and putting in place sustainable solutions with your team to help improve performance. It's an amazing story of the gentleman we're about to talk to, and I think you're going to find him fascinating. His name is Daniel Pinkham. He is the CEO and the founder of Lakehurst Consulting, which is headquartered in New London, Missouri. Dan is the principal consultant at Lakehurst, and as we pointed out, it's a business and operational process consulting firm that he founded in 2019. His background is rather amazing. It spanned over 30 years in which he worked as an engineer and an operation leader at chemical manufacturing plants, and then transitioned into driving operational excellence across manufacturing sites internationally for two different companies. And he decided to launch Lakehurst to address leaders' needs to identify the hidden value in their businesses and then to bring it to the bottom line. He's highly educated in the field. He has an MBA from Marshall University and a BS in chemical engineering from the University of Maine. And he is also a certified Lean Six Sigma Black Belt. How do you like that? I think that's absolutely wonderful. So I think it's remarkable that we have him with us today. Daniel Pinkham is his name. And Daniel, welcome. Nice to have you with us. How are you?
I'm doing fine today, Doug. It's great to be with you.
You know, I think you're the first person I've ever interviewed who had a black belt and puts it on the resume there like I was reading. I was just reading the list there, and that's pretty fascinating. Congratulations. Good for you. Anyway.
Oh, thank you.
We're going to talk about your company and how you help others. And let's look a little bit on, you know, you have a remarkable background. What is it that made you decide to found Lakehurst in the first place? Obviously, you thought a lot about it. What was your reason for founding this company and what it is focused on?
Sure. As often happens in the corporate world, there's always shakeups. And at some point in your life, you might want to take control of your own destiny. And so that was part of my choice in 2019, was to say, what do I have to offer the world? What has my experience, how have I gathered that up over the past 30 years? And how can I help other people who maybe have the same sort of problems that these large multinational companies I work for have, but don't always have the resource or the skill sets internally to fix those problems? And so I thought there was a niche there to go out, launch this business, go out and find those small to mid-sized manufacturers who are struggling day to day with nagging problems that won't go away. They may have thought they've fixed them, but if they come back, they're not really fixed. So I'm really passionate about helping people get better, helping companies get better, and going out and applying those proven techniques to help them get better. And maybe along the way, they'll learn some skills and won't necessarily need somebody like me. But usually once we establish a productive relationship, they're looking for the next difficult thing for somebody like me to help them with.
Well, let's talk about the kind of companies that you help primarily. I mean, it could be any firm. You have an extraordinary background in engineering, as a chemical manufacturing, knowledgeable individual. You have that, that background. But what kind of companies would you say you're primarily able to help? Or could it be any company?
Well, I can help any company that has some sort of process, and that can be a process they use to make things, or that can be a process they use to make things happen. So So it really can be any sort of business as long as there's some process behind it. And we all have process behind it, even though we might not realize it. So typically those are folks like manufacturers. And so I've worked, as you mentioned, I worked in the chemical industry, so have that familiarity. I worked in mining for over a decade, and I've worked in fiberglass manufacturing. But since I've been out in the consulting world, I've helped hospitality companies. I've helped insurance companies, in addition to some larger industrials like defense and aerospace. So it's really anybody who has an issue of getting something through their system to result in a service or a product. So that can range from your local coffee shop on up to somebody making airplanes.
You know, I find it fascinating because looking at the kind of things you help companies with, a lot of it, obviously, these are companies that could be manufacturing something, almost anything, if they have a manufacturing process. And I was trying to process in my own mind, you know, what would be great companies for you to work with. But then you mentioned insurance, and that's a whole different ballgame. Give me an idea of what you did to help an insurance firm. Because that seems to me it's a little out of your ballpark. But let's talk
about
that.
It is. However, at the root of the issue I was helping that particular company with was they were bringing inside their company, as you probably are aware, there's been a lot of changes in healthcare over the last decade, and this particular regional service provider was bringing in administration of Medicare Advantage in-house from a third party. They'd farmed it out. And so they wanted to better service their customers by having it inside. And so we worked with them to walk through what that process would be at a high level. What are all the steps? Who does what steps? Where are the handoffs? And then to help them put in place the system behind the scenes to make that all flow. And so it's very similar to what you might see in manufacturing, though it's a little bit less tangible. You can't go out and see the result on a plant floor. But the net result is the same, making that process move more smoothly for the company doing that administration, and hopefully helping their customers on the outside have a much better user experience when they're working with that company.
Well, I think it's a good way to put it. You know, let me point out, you're based in New London, Missouri. Does it matter where the company is? Do you go to them? I mean, suppose a company called you from Montana or New Mexico or, you know, wherever in the United States or internationally for that matter. How can they benefit from what you provide?
Sure. So we go where the client is. And one of the things that we've all learned over the past 3 years is assuming we can establish a working relationship, we don't necessarily have to be across the table from each other to get the work done. I would say that certainly in a manufacturing environment, it's much, you kind of have to be there to see how things work. But
exactly.
once you get a view of it and you get that background, you don't necessarily have to be there on the floor each and every day, as long as we've properly defined the problem we're working on, what the steps are to address it, who's working it, I've done a significant amount of work, including actually doing project management for a plant consolidation in early 2020. That was about 50% on site, 50% remote. So it can be done. If you've got a phone, an internet connection, and a highway to an airport, you can pretty much be anywhere in the country and still support these businesses.
No question about it. So talk to me about, from your perspective, what a consultant actually does. How do you define it?
Sure. So in a high level, consultants are problem solvers for some of the more complex business and organizational issues that are out there in business today. We typically work with senior leadership of a company to offer an outside perspective and objective observations on what can be done to fix a particular issue or improve their operations. Or as one of my mentors would say, we help people see the label from outside of the jar that they're often stuck in if they're within their own company. We help companies by identifying challenges, gathering and analyzing information, and developing and implementing solutions to help that client. And as I said earlier, it's very important to properly define the problem we're working to fix so we're fixing the right problem. And oftentimes that's where companies go wrong. As far as types of consulting, oftentimes people are have experience in a particular vertical like manufacturing or healthcare, or they may have experience in a particular functional area. So in my case, operations, operational excellence, continuous improvement. And we would bring that expertise to the client, typically to augment their team, to help them with skills they don't have. You can kind of think of us like other businesses use professionals like CPAs and lawyers. We consultants offer those same sort of professional skills from the outside on an as-needed basis. So it makes it very flexible for the hiring company. You don't have to necessarily go out and hire full-time skill to help you support these efforts. And as far as our work typically falls into one of three areas, as I mentioned, functional expertise. So we might provide a company specific advice and strategies to help on an issue. Secondly, we can provide higher level analysis and unbiased objective assessments to help companies see a way through issues that those closest to the problem may not be able to see because they're in the work rather than outside of it. And we might do project specific work. And within that, there's project management, defining work plans, identifying deliverables, timelines, who owns those actions, and then driving and tracking those results against those plans to deliver the result to the client. So consultants can help businesses with on-demand skills without the need for adding full-time team members, and we're really focused on providing value to those clients and building trust along the way because, obviously we'd love to have repeat business, but we'd also love to have referrals if we're successful with those clients.
Well, another question that comes to me is when companies call you, do they know what their problems are? When they call you to come in and help them improve their bottom line or their operations, do they know what's going wrong or where it could be improved at that point? Or are they just calling you to say, hey, look, we need help. Come in and help us figure out where we're going wrong. How would you answer
that? We certainly have both those scenarios, Doug. So oftentimes if it's a project-specific engagement, somebody knows they have something wrong on a manufacturing line that they can't produce. So they'll know they're not getting the result they need, and we'll go in and deep dive into that particular area. Other mm-hmm. times, at a higher level, sometimes it's, hey, my business is not performing the way it needs to. I'm not sure why. And so some of the smaller businesses I work with may be family-founded, first or second generation, and they know what they know. They know what they're offering to the marketplace, but they might not have a full utility belt full of tools to look at what's causing them issues. And so in those cases, we'll go in and at a high level, we'll start by following the money, look at the books, look at the flows of money, what particular segments are they spending more money on than others? Are there opportunities there? Then typically we'll go down the next layer and say, what are the processes that support these numbers? Once we've identified some of those key areas, and we'll look at those processes, how well they're using it. So in terms of manufacturing, it might be, are you making the units you need to make, or is your equipment available when you want it to be available, or are you having breakdowns? And so we'll identify what those key areas are that can, if are up and running, can improve revenue or if they're running properly, reduce cost. And if you add enough of those opportunities together, you start to attack the bottom line by increasing the top line, but also reducing expenses and keep that bottom line higher. So we'll go in, we'll ask a lot of why type questions. Why do you do it this way? Why is this happening? And we'll help address those causes of that why through improvement work, and creating project work and working with their teams hand in hand to make those improvements stick. And so it's a matter of, you know, part of this process is making sure you know the true causes of issues, the true root causes, and oftentimes there's more than one.
Right.
And so we'll go through, walk through those, and then we'll come up with plans to address those. And if we're doing that right, then you wind up with, at the end of the day, an improved bottom line in a sustainable way, because that problem's not going to come back again like it might have in the past.
Well, let me ask you, give me an idea of specific ways you've been able to help some, you know, some of your clients. It's interesting, your background is so varied. I mean, as a chemical engineer, you've worked in the fiberglass and mining industry. When you mention mining industry, you know, a lot of people, and I'm one of them, when you say that, I'm not quite sure what all that involves. Give me an idea of what you did in that arena.
Sure. So I worked for a salt mining company, one of the bigger ones in the world. And in salt, it's, the issues are get it from where it is, which is 1,300 feet underground at a mining face, to, in the case of road salt, on the road in the wintertime to provide for highway safety. And
right.
So there's a whole flow of operations from point A to point B. And in one instance, this was at a mine in the UK where we had large continuous miners, which are kind of like an army tank with a cylindrical set of teeth on the front end. So it just grinds away at the salt and gathers it up and puts it on a conveyor. In that instance, we were, we would mine out a certain length, and because of geologic issues, you can only go so far so fast. You have to attack things in a somewhat measured and strategic way, so you maintain the geological integrity of the deposit you're in. And that whole retraction process, you'd mine out about a kilometer, and then you'd have to turn the miner around and drive it back out and start down another tunnel. And when we were doing that, we actually had equipment behind that miner that had to come up. And that whole process took us about 2 weeks to turn the miner around, drive it out, remove that equipment, and be able to go back in. And actually, we mined two layers, the layer the equipment was on. And we looked at all the steps in that process, and we treated it like a NASCAR pit stop. What do you need to do when you're down, and what can you do before and after you're down to try and minimize that time, to cut that time from 2 weeks down to about 28 hours. And so, and of course, this is happening in a record winter in the UK, where we had the Prime Minister calling up our mine managing director asking them to make sure that we were providing salt to keep the highways in the UK safe. So
right.
By going through that process, identifying the things that needed to be done during the change versus things that could be done and prepared before the change or caught up with after the change, we were able to significantly cut the downtime of that miner and make sure we had a productive use of that equipment and kept the country safe.
Wow. Well, I just learned. So I had no idea. And how, is this down deep underground or not necessarily?
That particular mine is about 700 feet underground. Most
okay.
of the mines in North America are more like 1,500 feet underground.
I had no idea salt came from mines like that. Wow. But, you know, I know nothing about that field. That's pretty amazing. Totally amazing. So that's one of the areas in which and what was your specialty in that, you know, specific situation? I'm assuming you're not driving the
no.
vehicle into the mine. No.
It was really providing the framework to look at all those steps and identify where in those steps to shut down the miner, pull it back, remove the equipment, get the miner going again at the next level, to look at that in a systematic way and track each one of the times associated with those steps and what the bottlenecks were for those steps, and then come up with solutions to address them. So we found in this particular case that something as simple as having an additional fork truck available underground to do some equipment movement was critical to minimizing that time. And we also had some things like we might have some people availability issues. So making sure we had the right people available and we weren't trying to use the same person at two different places at the same time. So it was really breaking that whole operation down into components, just like you would at a pit stop, to figure out what can we eliminate, what can we do differently. So it was really coming in, helping the team with the tools to do that operation, which was my part of the puzzle.
Well, that must have been pretty fascinating, to say the least. And I'm sure what you did in the chemical arena. Give me an idea of some of the things you did in that world. That's totally different.
It is, but a lot of the same principles apply. So, I spent my time as an operations manager, and before that as an engineer. So, using these techniques to actually design and build chemical plants, you know, what can we do in a way that has the, you know, the least impact on the outside world from a risk perspective? What can we do in terms of risk to our own people, because oftentimes we're dealing with hazardous substances. So making sure that as we pick equipment, so I did a lot of process and project engineering, making sure we're picking equipment that can handle the service that it requires. And if we're going to have to go out and maintain that equipment, making sure it's easy to do so in a low risk way. So it's applying the same sort of concepts. Oftentimes in chemicals, we're a little bit more focused on being continuous throughout our design, build, operate strategy. Sometimes in these other discrete industries in mining, we don't have quite that same mindset, making sure the equipment lines up size to size to make sure you have a continuous flow. But it was looking at that, making sure when we're laying out a process, when we're operating the process, that we're doing it in a way that is safe and makes sense and meets the demand of our customers, and also make sure that we're doing things in a responsible way for the outside world and our employees who are dealing with those risks every day.
Well, it sounds really pretty amazing what you're doing. And I know that, by the way, Lakehurst Consulting, you're the founder of the firm. Is it, I mean, are there a large team of you, or is it primarily you?
It's a small team, so it's primarily me, but one of the neat things about being in this space is having an extensive network of people who come in and help when you need it. So we're all out there helping each other when we get engagements. So we've got, we bring in the skill we need for the particular issue we're trying to address.
You know, when I mentioned the fact that you had a black belt, you mentioned that, but it's referred to quite frequently in, and I'm looking at your website, you use this term among your tools is Lean Six Sigma. What does that actually mean? How is that part of what you provide, the service you provide?
Sure.
How do you answer that?
So Lean Six Sigma is the framework that we use for addressing these problems. And it comes from two different, somewhat disparate methodologies that have been developed over the years. Lean is really all about flow. And it really started, you can go back and look at as far back as manufacturing of the cotton gin. So how do you make things flow in a factory? It's making sure that each and every part is the same, and as you put those parts together to form a final product, it comes out in the way you expect it. And there's flow from beginning to end, from all those components coming together to finally getting a product out the manufacturing line. Same is true in automotive. So if you think of manufacturing and single piece flow, it really goes back to Henry Ford at a large scale. And that lean methodology and thought process really took hold in Toyota after World War II when Deming went to visit the Japanese and help reestablish the economy through getting back in place in an industrial base for the country. They didn't have much to work with, so it was important that everything you had you used in an efficient way. So they became very religious in their approach to making sure they had efficiency, but also in that process making sure that the ideas from the people on the front line to put that efficiency in place were included, in a process called Kaizen, which is continuous improvement on an incremental basis each and every day. So that's what Lean is all about. It's getting product flow and making sure you get people closest to the work who are contributing to that flow and have the power to make improvements and also have the power to flag things when things aren't going the way they should. So that's where Lean comes from. Six Sigma is more out of the quality realm and understanding the capability of a process to produce a product within specifications. And so that really came out of Motorola in the 1980s. And these concepts came together and were kind of put out there by folks like Allied Signal, Honeywell, General Electric in the 90s. And so this training where these were combined and put in place and went out all across industry came out in the 80s and 90s, and I went through that training as part of my engineering time and was trained at first the green belt level, which is kind of the basics to do projects, a black belt level, which is a more involved use of statistics to understand a process's capability. And then finally, I also went through master black belt training at one of my prior companies, and which was really around how do you run programs that use these tools. And I was able to put that into effect at the last company I worked at for over a decade.
Well, that's pretty amazing because when I read that you are a certified Lean Six Sigma black belt, most people think that's you're a wrestler or something of that nature.
Yeah, they stole the terminology from martial arts.
They did. But it works, and that's one of your prime tools, and it's really a worthwhile tool. It's mentioned a lot. You feature Lean Six Sigma as well as many of the other, you know, outstanding things you provide to help companies with. I guess one of the other major questions we really ought to focus on for a moment is how do you help companies improve their bottom line? That probably is most important of all, right?
Sure. So it's taking those tools. It's understanding where the issues are from a high level. You know, typically we'll look at cost, we'll look at uptime, we'll look at people, and we'll go to where the money takes us, and from there we'll dig in more onto applying those tools to improve the process. So it's typically getting a team involved with the particular issue and helping the team drive that improvement, because once the team does it, it kind of becomes like a flywheel. In that people get excited, they've made an improvement, they want to make more because it makes their jobs more secure, it makes being at work more enjoyable. And so if we help companies instill that culture as well.
Well, I think you've got a remarkable story to tell. We've been talking to Daniel Pinkham. He's the founder and the CEO of Lakehurst Consulting, which is based in Lakehurst Consulting in New London, Missouri. And you're going to be back again with us next week, Dan. You also train companies. That's another service that you provide. And that's a pretty big element as well, isn't it? And that's you chain them in the Six Sigma 6, correct?
Yeah, so what we'll do is we take companies through a structured problem-solving process, which is based on Lean Six Sigma. And you know, it's kind of like the Arthur Murray School of Learning, where we'll walk them through and teach them, and then we'll go out and we'll show them, and then we'll go out and watch them do it until they become expert in it. And that's how we approach training, is we want people to come out the other end able to use these tools 90% of the time without additional help, but also to be there as a resource if they decide they do need that added expert help.
All right. Dan, we'll be back with us again next week. We look forward to having you with us. The website for this company is lakehurstconsulting.com, lakehurstconsulting.com. If you're interested in getting in touch with Dan, that's where you go to get the information. Dan, thank you very much for being with us today. Mm-hmm. It's been a delight to have you as a guest. We'll see you next week, okay? Thank you so much.
Thank you, Doug.
You're welcome. All righty.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.